All righty. Good evening, everybody. Sorry to be rude with the gavel, but it was kind of fun. This is a public meeting of the mayor and council of the township of Clinton, county of Hunterdon, the state of New Jersey. Adequate notice of this meeting has been given in accordance with the Open Public Meetings Act and that the notice of an agenda for this meeting was posted on the bulletin boards in the municipal building and faxed to the Hunterdon County Democrat, the Express Times, the Courier News, the Hunterdon Review, and the Star Ledger. May I have a roll call, please?
First, we got to do the flag salute.
You're right.
Always.
Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Now, could I have a...
Oh, you already did that one. Okay, yeah. Councilman Strauss.
Here.
Councilman Kaczynowski.
Here.
Councilwoman Switlik.
Here.
Council President Malloy.
Here.
Mayor Higgins.
Here. More or less. Thank you. Okay. The first item on the agenda is the consent section. And as I always say, these are routine items that may be approved in one motion and vote. We've got a resolution in opposition of some Department of Agriculture regulations for beekeeping. It is, to be very honest, a knockoff of a similar resolution that Clinton Town did last week. And after some discussion on the part of the beekeepers, there's a what's felt to be an onerous provision in regulations with the exception of that particular provision as outlined in the resolution, is a market improvement over where they were going. I thought we might do it this way instead of asking the beekeepers to come out. And
I wanted them to come out. Remember their T-shirts?
You know,
they were so much fun.
Oh, well, I'm sorry. All right. And we're going to also authorize return some premium refunds on lien redemptions and some property tax refunds. Is there any discussion other than on the beekeeper thing? All right.
I'll make a motion.
I'll second it.
Councilman Strauss?
Yes.
Councilman Kaczynowski?
Yes.
Councilwoman Switlik?
Yes.
Council President Malloy?
Yes.
Mayor Higgins?
Yes. Thank you. And we're up for the first public comment period. Are there any comments from any members of the public?
That's all I have to say. Actually, I'm here to torture Mark for 1 week.
Just what I need.
Sorry about that, Mayor.
Another fanfare group.
Well, in that case, come on. No.
I'll be honest. I only attend too many meetings in Clinton Township. I don't like, you know, being not only an employee, but being a citizen. I just want to be here.
Thank you. It's good to see you, Brian. And do you think you could fix that door on the way out? There must have been.
Good one.
I think one caught that, and I think it's going to have to be replaced.
You're kinder than me. I was thinking it was probably an angry guy after court.
Oh, that too.
You know? I wouldn't be surprised, but just kidding about fixing it. So it's good to see you. I don't see anybody else coming up comments, so we'll move on. And so we're up to reports. Mr. Strauss, yep. Anything going on?
Yes, thank you, Mayor. Couple things tonight. Not much on the Environmental Commission, as our meeting was earlier this month prior to our first council meeting of the month. However, the next meeting is scheduled for Thursday, March 7th at 8 p.m. However, I did have some conversations with Bill Honoshevsky Jr., and I'm not sure if everyone saw the emails or not, but our ERI plan, our Interactive Environmental Resource Inventory, bless you, is being suggested that we update that. So I guess that's something between open space and environmental that's going to look into that.
You know, I'm not sure whether it's a planning board thing or if it's a committee thing, but we can certainly look at it.
It has to do, Mayor, which I'm sure you know, with Highlands, so yeah. I'm not sure where it fits into the order, but I just wanted to make sure that, you know, he took the time to bring it to the attention of this group that we made sure that we just...
Yeah, the ERI is a planning document, so that I'm not... We'll take the idea to update it under advisement and figure out which body is responsible for it.
Sure.
I'm thinking it's probably the planner and the planning board, and because it is a part of the Highlands that we've opted into. And who knows? I can't remember. We might even have a small grant to do that. It's like a module that's part of moving further into compliance with the regional master plan.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure it was given its due diligence. That's all, sir.
No, appreciate it.
Board of Education, their regular meeting was this past Monday, February 25th. Besides the talks of facilities, finances, personnel, and student field trips coming up for the remainder of the year, everything appeared to be routine. That's it for my two committees. I just had a few things if I could bring up. I've been talking with Jess about something that was brought to my attention from Berkeley Township down in Ocean County Police Department. Somehow it ended up on my Facebook page was they had a deal with Ring.com, and this woman brought it to our attention because of the vehicle burglaries that were going on in a certain section of the township. That well, go ahead, Jess. You had more of the car.
I reached out to the lieutenant, the detective lieutenant down there, who's running the program. And basically, it's a grant with people to make the Ring camera in the town, 50-50 split, and you get cameras and you put them on your house, exterior home security cameras. It's a much bigger township, like three or four times the size of ours, and they've spent $10,000 in their head. It's a 50-50 match. So last year they spent $10,000, and this year they budgeted $20,000 to try and get these cameras all over, to include public buildings and things like that. So I've been in contact with the person from the company, and we're going back and forth with how it works, and I'll report that in the future. But something we want to do is probably a good thing. Homeowners insurance would do well, our own security.
That's
so
a great idea.
It's a good program.
And you said like a first come, first serve type?
It's a grant, or it's something that...
They will match... And they provide the cameras, of course, and then but they'll match half the cost.
Okay. So there's no outlay necessarily from the township?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, unless you want the residents to pay for it. I mean, in Berkeley, the town bought half of them, and they were donated the other half. That's another way you could do it, though. So anyway, we're still playing phone tag. When I get more information, I'll share it.
Investigate it. I know, just from knocking on doors, there's a reasonable number of Ring doorbell thingies around, and... If I remember correctly, the price is about $250 a throw, so it's not a inconsequential purchase for a lot of people.
Yeah. I don't think it was that high. I'll get you the info.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I think it's a good idea. If people are interested, put it out there and see what response you get.
See what the program looks like. Sure.
Appreciate you following up on that, Jess. next was, and also talking with Jesse, is with the new canine, I know that the Friendly Sons were donating the vest for the dog, but I was also approached by another private organization that wanted to donate the badges, the two badges for the dog. So I'll be working with Jess on that, and when we have the final amounts and when we're going to do that, we'll put a resolution for it, maybe bring that.
I think they've been ordered. So once we get them in, we can have the presentation.
Yep, near the presentation.
Well, when he graduates canine school, we can bring him in and swear him in.
Badges.
Can I do it?
Roof. Oh, yeah, there's two badges, one for his bulletproof vest and one for undercover work.
Well, he's our off-duty.
Off-duty badge. But that's in the works. They've been ordered.
Great.
It might take a while. So, and the dog is doing well in school. He's now in, the second week of drug-sniffing school. He's done with the police part one. So that's moving right along.
When I did that initial Facebook post of that dog, didn't we get some people calling to donate stuff at that time
and
as well?
We've been taking the money, too.
Yeah, well, of course.
Yeah.
The public's really excited about that dog.
Yep.
To administer the
yeah.
Next, I had an issue pop up that also Jess said they were on top of. It was a snow plowing issue on Payne Road with that private road, Springhouse. Lane or road, whatever it is there, it's a dead end. Private road was getting plowed out into the public street and blocking driveways, mailboxes, and fire hydrants. So that's been addressed to the contractor. So appreciate
where,
your...
Where is that? Is that at the end of Glen Creek?
Payne Road.
Next to the Rabbi Center.
Yeah.
Yeah, when you
that new development on the left.
The green houses on the corner.
Cul-de-sac.
Yeah, there's only a couple of houses. Your buddy lives
in the area of Payne.
31. No, 31.
For Payne Road, Springhouse.
I follow you. The Springhouse Estates.
Mm-hmm.
Payne Road.
Yeah, there's a retired.
So I guess because the road's still under private, they have a contract there, and he was just pushing the snow out into the public road. And so. Lastly, Trisha, I guess this is more of a question for you. You know, every time I'm in the car, which I spend a lot of time, I hear other municipalities bringing up ordinances about the legalization of marijuana and whatnot, and next, you know, people drafting ordinances. And from what I understand and talking to the towns I deal with, if you don't opt out of it, you're automatically opting into it.
Yeah, when's that?
So that's, yeah, I'll follow up on that.
Yep.
So I'd like, I don't know how everyone else feels, but I'm.
No, you know, it hasn't
passed. Nothing's passed.
I don't, but there's still towns that are putting, saying, hey, we don't care what it says. You know, we're adopting an ordinance to not only the distribution of sale and.
Yeah. I'm wondering, though, if it isn't more prudent to wait until there's actual legislation that needs to be acted upon.
That's been my particular position. It's waffled around a little bit. And I thought the actual. The last draft that I saw, you were not. There was a time period given, a grace period for towns to make a decision.
Well, chiming in might prevent them from doing the legislation. One could look at it that way.
What prompted mine is today is I when I went to that orientation, I signed up for the league text messaging. Like, I don't get enough, but,
I was gonna say,
you know, they had an update about that today. It said, update on legislation to legalize marijuana. Please see the, you know, follow link. So I just thought that, okay. You know,
yeah, I'll follow up and at least just give you guys a sense of where things are and how to protect yourselves.
It's hard to be long-winded. I'm done.
It's okay. I can yield my time to Mark. last Monday was President's Day, so the Planning Board did not meet. We have our next meeting on Monday, March 4th. Mm-hmm. We had a teacher at the middle school resign, a Spanish teacher. It's all the rave. That's the end of my report.
Yeah. Cool.
North of Warriors Board of Ed met on Tuesday, February 19th. I think it was like literally a half hour long. I didn't time it, but it was pretty short. The next meeting is March 19th. They went to an executive to approve the two contracts I mentioned last time, assistant superintendent and school business administrator, and that went along smoothly. So, and historic is next Wednesday, March 9th, and that's it. Works sweet.
Well, as Tom said, no planning board meeting.
March 6th, sorry.
Is that what I said?
You said March 9th.
March 6th. Thank you.
No planning board meeting. Open spaces tomorrow. We had a good meeting, two meetings with Highlands this afternoon. One was about wastewater management plan, the long-awaited update. It's apparently due sometime late in March, so we'll be going. This is Kathy Marcelli, John Drill, and myself. So we'll be going back and forth with them on tuning up the wastewater management plan. And for instance, if you go all the way back, the East Clinton Treatment Works is still in the plan, which is never going to happen. So the old mountain farm that Harold Wilberts owns once upon a time had set aside 5 acres on that parcel for a treatment plant. So. For instance, all of that surf service area just goes away because it's not something that can happen. But, you know, it's kind of a little bit like the update Mark was talking about, an ERI update. It's another planning document associated with the township. It's fairly important. And since we're in Highlands is the conduit to get DEP to act on it timely. So we'll be talking about that over the next couple of weeks. Filing something from the township, I think, in fairly short order. We also touched on the Headley Farm project and the potential development of a Highlands Center that's kind of required to make that happen, and some discussion about how they would source utilities. At this point, it does look like on-site waste treatment is the way it's going to go on the sewage side. The water side is a little bit more unsettled at this point in time, but we'll see some further developments on that as their attorney starts to, you know, inquire about the different ways to get water on the site. But a good, I think a really a good constructive meeting. That's it for me.
I didn't really have any meetings in the last couple of weeks. Sewer Authority is going to meet next Thursday. They do have a capacity request. Trishka, I'll need to talk to you about that. And then hopefully in the next week or two, we'll get a finance committee meeting together, go over a draft budget. Jess, when were we thinking about introduction? April, I guess.
Could be the last meeting in March, first meeting in April. We're about ready. Just want to check all the numbers with the bond council and the auditor. Make sure we're not missing anything. That, which is next week, that meeting.
Right. All right. That's all I have. So maybe the
second week of
March? Yeah, at the beginning of the week, since Lori's schedule is.
Yeah, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday.
That's all I have.
Lieutenant, anything from you?
Yes, sir. Let's talk power outage for a moment.
Plural.
There's a power outage?
I had one.
Really not a report, but just an observation. You know, I had gotten your text message and contemporaneous with answering you. I started to get a bunch of messages and correspondence. I talked to Mr. Landon, a couple of the officers, and the generator wasn't working here, as you know. And as I was going back and forth with everyone and about how important it would be to get the power up and running in the building, not to mention all the other residents, because it was going to get cold that night, or I believe we got a storm that night. About 45 minutes into it, somebody had called me, and they said, Jay's here. He fixed it. So that was very helpful, very important, and I wanted to recognize that, because it's not only annoying, but it's very frightening when you work for a law enforcement agency and you don't have power.
Can I ask a question about the generator? Does it go on, you know, on a, like, every other week or day or something?
It self-tests. Right. I can't tell you specifically how often it self-tests, but you'll come in sometimes and you'll hear it. You'll hear it going, and it'll self-test. And it generates a report. There is also a private contractor, if I'm not mistaken, who should be, I guess, load testing it on full load at least twice a year or whatever. But that's, I don't know if that's been kept up with, to be candid with you. And it's also unlocked, and no one has the key, and I've mentioned it before, and you know, when you have people walking around the parking lot and whatnot. So the generator is definitely in need of some attention, and I'm going to get to that hopefully tomorrow after I talk to Trishka for about 2 minutes.
Yeah, that generator's not that old, I don't think, either.
No.
Well, maybe 5 or 6 years.
It's been there from at least 2001.
Has it?
What?
That generator's been, what's old for a generator, I guess.
That's I'd say it's been there.
I thought we replaced
it. Depends on how often you use it.
Yeah.
It's a gas, right?
Yes, sir. It's because it has exhaust. It has exhaust. And it goes on here quite often. Someone will hit
for
a pole.
Normally they exercise for about weekly. They come from the factory Wednesday at 2 o'clock. Every week it turns itself on, hopefully.
Right.
And the question is, does this one have a modem out that can alert somebody if it doesn't start?
That's the report you're talking about, probably.
I believe so, and I believe that report is kept in the building department, because I used to get them for what was then called the accreditation project. But all that to say, I'm going to address that. I'm going to work on it, make sure it works. My point was to basically recognize Jay. I'll give you another example. There's a leak downstairs in the basement. I'm not sure where, but there's a pipe.
I saw that one.
There's a pipe busted somewhere, and it's dripping on wires, and it's dripping on equipment. And we can't determine where, but the corrugated ceiling is actually kind of disintegrating a little bit. And, you know, I put an email out. I consider this to be urgent. This could be a problem. And Jay chimed in. I'll be there in the morning. So, again, I don't really have a report, but I just want to recognize it. That's the kind of thing that's kind of like a sigh of relief. Like, oh, someone's going to want to address it. That's usually really all we're asking, is someone to try to address it.
That's great.
So that's it.
Yeah, good stuff. I have to compliment the police. We managed to get through no traffic lights on different stretches of Route 31 for different reasons, and it seems like everybody got out safe.
I understand that, but the power came back on at what, midnight that night?
Depends where you were.
Yeah, some people I think were still out.
Still out today.
Yeah.
From
There's some onesie twosies because of the nature of the power failures around the county.
Okay. Did anyone ever determine what specifically caused that?
There were multiple causes, I think.
Tree, well, mostly trees.
Yeah,
limbs.
One was a tree on Hibbler, I think.
I think there were several of those wires down.
There was a large fire at Hibbler in 31 that took out that whole area.
Yep.
And that's when the power on 31 went out.
Are we talking about the same?
Well,
there's
got
a couple different ones.
Three or four different incidents.
Yeah.
So you had the power failures a while ago that you just spoke of.
Yeah. Right.
Shortly thereafter, we had the accident up on Route 31 North with that tanker truck that injured a young woman.
Yes.
He took down a pole, which then took that part of the township out and those traffic lights. But then the most recent one is just a windstorm. There were more than 140 outages in the county because it's not big trees, really, just a lot of branches. If you don't have reclosers or, quote-unquote, smart fuses, branch comes down, you pop the fuse, and, you know, when you got more than 100 of them, it takes a long time for the crews to get around and isolate and put the fuse back in.
And you mean separate incidents, not necessarily homes out.
Well, separate failures. Mm-hmm. I've never seen a number that high. So, but like I think Jesse said, last I looked, there were, I think we had like 5 people out or 10 people out.
Well, I thought it was about 30 last.
They were still working on. They were still working on that one at Hibbler. I mean, they've been working on it since Saturday.
Could be March, you never know, Sunday.
Okay.
John, I had a couple things.
Oh, yeah, you skipped Jess.
Oh, jeez.
You usually send something in
writing.
So we are having our budget meeting with the auditor, bond counsel, CFO, and myself Tuesday to get, we've already got most of it put together. We want to make sure we didn't miss anything, see what our debt structure is looking like. We have to refinance next month one of our bonds, so that'll all be taken up. We have the budget ready to introduce in March if you want to. We still haven't heard anything from Trenton regarding aid or not. So, you know, we'll have to play that by ear. But that's all happening. I wanted to let you know, Clinton Rescue Squad's got a big drill planned for Windy Acres. We've got photographers and engineers. And I think it'll be an exercise. It'll be good. We started clean up there. The bridge is done. We're cleaning out the heavy grass to try and keep the ticks under control. And once they tear up some of the buildings for rescue training, that's scheduled to go and be removed, we'll do a bid in April. And all those that trash will be out of there, so we can have a grand opening sometime in Oktoberfest, maybe, you know. So that's all happening. Huh? Oktoberfest, come on.
So you're expecting to go out for bid in April?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's April. Yep.
To do the work over
there. Yeah. Something like that, yeah.
You know, the summertime's perfect, and it's, you know. And then we've been talking security for up there because, you know, it's going to be something we'll have to control somewhat, as much as we can. But anyway, that's all in the works. And I also wanted, you know, I signed up for the fire company and the rescue squad when there's an alert, when they get alerted for something. It never stops.
Are you sorry yet?
It never stops with the rescue squad. I mean, they're constantly having calls. And, you know, I just don't know if you know how busy they are. I mean, you're out there a lot. Fire company's out there once in a while. I don't want to hurt their feelings, but it's interesting to see all the calls that come in and what they are and how who all responds. So, yeah.
They get a lot of runs, and I'm sure the state facilities are prime customers.
That they are. Do you want me to give my report?
Sure.
At this point? All right. Thank you.
Thank you for the report.
Bucky Buchanan, Deputy Chief EMS, Clinton, for State Rescue Squad. So 2018, yeah. Jess, you just came in, and you're already seeing how busy we are. We actually had our busiest year, did over 3,600 calls. I think when I first addressed you folks about 3.5-4 years ago, we were just hitting 2,500. So we're actually climbing up. Part of that has to do with our consolidation and our regionalization that we've talked about in the past. So that is part of it. But it absolutely we've seen a bump in this area. Unfortunately, we've had some big incidents recently, including, you know, the accidents that have occurred on both highways out there. But, you know, seeing a 20% increase over a year is definitely been a little bit of a growth spurt for us. So I believe last time I was here, we had mentioned that we were in new discussions with the High Bridge Emergency Squad, and we're starting a new partnership with them, one that dated back 15 years but was being reformatted. We're now a year into that with our High Bridge partnership, and we're actually looking. We've been meeting with their board, and our board has been meeting for the past 2 months now. We have hired a consultant that's coming in to look at a consolidation opportunities that may be out there for us going into the future. So nothing's written in stone yet, but we are looking at the opportunities that are available out there. So that's something exciting for us as well for us. Last year we celebrated our 50th anniversary. We had the parade the year before, but last year we had our housing for the new rescue truck that arrived that the squad purchased in May, and celebrated that with a little bit of a picnic and all in September, and so we celebrated our 50th at that point. Our membership is up, continues to grow. We had some very interesting highlights throughout the year for last year. We did some community education that we had not done in the past. Stop the Bleed is one of those. Until Help Arrives is another one. These were free trainings that we offered out to the communities that we service, and we had probably over 100 people come through the different programs that we did. We've been working in conjunction with the prosecutor's office and doing a lot of the schools as well for training on Stop the Bleed and that initial response. In May, we received two awards from the 200 Club of Hunterdon County for two rescues that were done. So our volunteers and career staff are very proud of that. I already mentioned the rescue truck arrived, and that has been our pride and joy. Luckily, through fiscal responsibility and all, we were able to fund that mostly internal, and we're able to put that in service, and that's been a great thing. We had several responses with the New Jersey EMS Task Force, which we're part of in the region. And, what else did we do? We sent a couple people off to FEMA training. So we had some people out at bomb school in Socorro, Mexico. We sent two of our members to Playas, New Mexico for SWAT bomb school. And that was an interesting event out there. And we finally got all of our equipment back from the U.S. Virgin Islands. Which, we actually did not get paid until June of this year. It was almost a full year till we got our payments for that, but that was all good. I was almost not going to make it here tonight because our partnership in the Hunterdon County Technical Rescue Task Force, which is going to be the ones drilling up at Windy Acres, were actually called out for a horse rescue down in Reddington Township this evening at 6:01 p.m. So we're actually on our way down there. We got canceled. The horse got up. But that's like the unusual things that happen here in Hunterdon County. And we had nine members responding to that this evening at 6 o'clock. So it's...
We've had horse rescues before. We had the one in the pool here.
We had the pool here. We had a pool up in Tewksbury Township a few years all the way up. So it's amazing, when you start thinking of collapse and industrial entrapments and car accidents, but it's also, hey, welcome to Hunterdon County. You have lost llamas in out in Holland Township, and here you've got horses that need help. So all things that we're there and able to assist with. We did have a busy Monday during the windstorm. Luckily, with our fire departments, they stopped calling us each time for all the wire fires, but there were a lot of them, and that was a lot of it was trees rubbing up against wires causing those fires. And obviously tripping circuits or what have you throughout the area. And then two great partnerships that we started in 2018. One was with the Somerville First Aid and Rescue Squad, and we actually started providing services for Somerville and Raritan Borough in Somerset County 6 days a week. They reached out to us because of our partnerships that we had experienced in the past with Highbridge, Hampton, Califon, and Lebanon Township, and they had heard about our services, so we've been providing that service now since September. Again, part of our regional service that we look at, and unfortunately, with the way Medicare, Medicaid, and some new reimbursement laws coming out, it's going to be the way of the future, is the regional EMS approach. So I think we're one step ahead as we continue to look at those opportunities. And the second one was a partnership with RVCC. Warren Valley Community College approached us early last year and wanted to use us as a EMT training site for college credits for a college program that they are a degree program that they're running. We hemmed and hawed. We were already running three EMT programs a year. They wanted us to add two more, including daytime programs, five EMT programs. Each one's 250 hours plus admin time is a lot. We're now running five EMT programs out of the Clinton facility here a year. Our first program kicked off in September, or excuse me, we're in January, aren't we? February. January, we kicked off our first college program with 10 students from the college and an associate professor that's one of our employees. And it's going great. We have 10 in that program and 20 people in our night EMT program from around the county. So our summer program is sold out. We haven't even advertised it yet. So the good news is there are people out there looking for training and wanting the training. And we're glad to be able to provide that service to the county and to all the squads throughout the county. So that's all I have, unless you have folks have any questions.
I have
questions.
A question. Yes. What's the involvement of the youth from our community?
Great question. We've had a great involvement for our cadet program, especially from North. You know, something that North did a few years back was instituted, you know, community service as part of your graduate program. And we have just about a dozen people under the age of 18 that are riding the ambulances or on the rescue trucks down there for training. And I would say about half of our students in the EMT program are under the age of 19. So
what's the minimum age?
16. You have to be 16 to get into a New Jersey EMT program. Our department has a 16 to 18-year-old cadet program, where it's 4 hours a week, usually a night or an afternoon after school, where you come down and volunteer. Mm. And you get to do everything that we do under the direction of, you know, a fully certified or licensed EMT. So we've been very lucky. We've also seen a lot of those people, unfortunately, leave us, you know, because of they go to college, they go to the military, they go get a job in North and South Carolina, where, you know, fire and EMS service pays better than here.
You more than zero?
Yeah, exactly. So, yes. So that's where we are. And we do thank you all for allowing us to get into Windy Acres, and that will be a great task force event. You'll have agencies from across the county that will be there. And I know there are some people coming in from outside agencies as well to kind of take a look and watch what's going on. As we go in and simulate a collapse rescue at one of the old houses there.
I have a question for you.
Yes.
Along the lines of the services that you provide with training,
yep.
Glad you're here. Am I correct that your agency provides the CPR, the AED, and the basic first aid training? I know Sharon used to do it with us for years.
Yep. Sharon Burham, through the County Training Center, has offered that in the past, and that has been grant funded or funded through the county for responders. We also do offer, and I know we've done, I don't know that we've done your officers in the past here,
right.
But I know we've helped with like the DFib and updating materials and all for that. But
you have a schedule of the training?
We have a schedule, at least one full open CPR class each month.
Each month.
Is on our website, and that's open to the public.
And that's with the AED as
yep,
well?
Yep, that's a full CPR program for first responders.
Because we're trying, I don't know whether Lieutenant Higgins has spoken to you or not, we're trying to get that. I think it's every 2 years for us or
yes,
every
yep.
3 years, but we open it up to everyone in the township. So
okay.
Our clerical staff, you know, takes advantage of it
yep.
as well. So it. For some reason, we've been missing you or missing the dates or something.
Gotcha. But. Lieutenant Gardner is the one that handles those trainings for us. And I want to say someone had reached out, but I don't remember
I believe
who.
Doug, is it on
possible.
Your website? Is it on a website?
Our public classes are all on our website, which is clintonems.org, under the training tab. And like I said, at least one public CPR AED program each month that's available. Out there, and then we have multitudes. We just finished up Acorn Montessori School, you know, here in town for 75 people there. We've done the prisons in the past, so Yeah, the training's a whole other side of the house.
Right. Thank you for providing it. It's important because we're obligated to do it, and I don't know whether we're behind or we're slipping behind, but you know, we have to get on.
If the county can't get you taken care of, we definitely can do that for you.
All right, thank you.
Yep.
Bucky, you mentioned an uptick in membership, which is really good to hear. I know you ran that membership drive a couple of years ago.
Yes.
Most of it is, I'm assuming you're talking volunteers, not...
Yes. Yeah. It's both. You know, obviously with the increase of volume and our added services.
Well, I was going to ask you that.
Somerville is completely a career, so mostly per diem employees that cover the Somerville truck. It's very infrequent. I think we've had two volunteers that have gone over there because they want to experience.
Right. And I would think you get some of your per diem guys through the volunteer.
We do not hire our own volunteers as per diems. Unfortunately, one of our rules is you must separate for 2 years, and that's so that we don't have all of our volunteers jumping ship to go to the career side. But we do work with all of our local agencies, and you know, a lot of our people come from the local agencies where they volunteer in their community and they work for us. We have employees reaching from Toms River now to Sussex County, you know, that come and work here. A lot of it's because of our reputation. And we did just post 9 new positions today for career, to cover all the shifts that are open.
Yeah.
Yep. And not to mention, you know, I think we brought on 84 new volunteers last year. Obviously, we saw probably 60 of them through attrition move on. So, you know, it's a constant revolving door of finding new volunteers, getting them trained, getting them on for the service.
It's still pretty good.
Yeah. It's a lot of people coming and going.
Good.
Yeah.
How many paid people at this point, Bucky?
We have 6 full-timers, 4 part-timers, and 25-ish per diems. I had 4 people in the last 24 hours, unfortunately, that have left for all good reasons. You know, one moved down to the shore for a new job opportunity. One's going back to school, military. So, you know, all that happens. But it's 25-ish. And we're still approximately 50% volunteer, 50% career as far as the coverage. Nights and weekends is almost all volunteer. And our daytime is almost all career. Just because of the availability of folks. But it's still a good 50-50 mix. So we have not gone the way of a lot of other departments where it's all paid. So we're lucky there that we have the support from the community to do that.
And it's enabled you to provide a high level of service, which
we
very
yep.
much appreciate.
Yeah, we still are under a 7-minute response time to the township. I believe our the county average for an ambulance on site in under 13 minutes 90% of the time, we're at 9 minutes 90% of the time. So, you know, and we cover a huge area. You know, when you look at some response times for some of our areas, it's 20, 22 minutes to get from one place to another. So,
all right.
Terrific.
Very good.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Staying for the rest of the meeting, or are you splitting?
If you would like, Mark, I will stay.
Just one little report item I forgot to mention. I understand the county has solicited proposals to provide electrical service to whomever would like to avail of the bids. I know the bids are in. I don't think the program has been announced yet, but we talked about doing that from time to time. And
I think that would be a great idea. If we can economize on...
I told them it would be a splendid... shared service.
It's one of, and Jess, it'll be on the agenda for when we have our finance meeting. One of the things I want us to look at, we've talked about, is energy efficiency improvements in the buildings. So anything we can do to save on our electric bill and gas bill and all.
And, of course, that would be for not just our buildings, but, you know,
the fire. Oh, so they're going to do a total aggregation for the county.
Mm-hmm. Oh. Well, they've solicited a proposal to do that, and of course everybody has to volunteer if they want to participate.
We'll have to take a look.
So I'll be very, very interested when the numbers are all in and we get, you know, a good flavor for it.
A couple of years ago, Mayor, I don't know if it was a township or what the initiative was, they came through. I know they changed a bunch of lights at the firehouse. Here they put in some motion sensor lights, swapped out some old fixtures, so that was good.
There's a number of programs which I'm not particularly familiar with. Brian probably
is. There are some programs the state runs. I believe back when we did that, it was before my time, it was an energy audit that was sponsored by the state. Mm-hmm. We got offsetting fine. You know, it wasn't a one-for-one match, but it was a much less expensive endeavor to do some of those upgrades. I don't know if they maybe even did some of the HVAC stuff, but I know that in a lot of the buildings they haven't changed out the old fluorescent tubes that draw 32 watts apiece. So I think there's still some room for improvement.
Oh, absolutely.
Probably got a lot of T12s, not even T8s.
Yeah, so.
Yeah. So good if we can squeeze some money out there. That'd be
but
great.
Yeah, the energy great. Aggregation thing is something Raritan Township had tried, and I think they backed away from, but it may be worthwhile. It allows them. Typically, they're doing it now. We've toyed with the idea. There are pros and cons, but on a countywide basis, it may not be so bad.
Yeah. We'll see what the numbers are. I wish I could remember a little bit more of the detail, but I thought the actual bids for these services were going to happen toward the fall or the late summer, that kind of time.
Well, let's get details and we'll take a look.
And we'll take a good look. All righty. So we're up to resolutions, and we have an adjustment to our temporary budget, which, again, I think is very routine as the year goes on, and we get better certainty in terms of spending in the different buckets. So, Jess, I'm assuming this is just a usual upward adjustment for
this time.
Kind
of waiting for the real budget.
Right. Yeah. So any questions? Or?
Nope. I'll make a motion.
Second.
And roll call.
Councilman Strauss?
Yes.
Councilman Kochanowski?
Yes.
Councilwoman Switlick?
Yes.
Council President Malay?
Yes.
Mayor Higgins?
Yes. Next item is a little bit more sensitive, and trying to figure out the best way to start this off. I've heard of, and I've heard in my ear, some concerns that several members of council have with regards to this program. And some folks ask questions that, to be honest, I couldn't really answer. And one of those questions would be, for instance, should we, before we spend the money on the study, should we provide council with more detail in terms of how many deer are we going to have to harvest to have a meaningful impact on the deer population and in turn the vegetation and certainly their effect on our farmers. I don't really know that number right now. I think Rich is able to share that kind of information up very quickly. And the implication there is if we're going to harvest a lot of deer, we're going to have to pay to have those deer butchered and turned into meat for food banks and such at $75 a throw. So we should find out first what the required number is, and then take a look at can we affect the entire township, or can we only affect, for instance, the acreage that we actually own as open space, which is, of course, the parcels that we care most about from both a farming perspective and from a custodial perspective. So I have the feeling that before we vote on this, I'm not sure whether we should vote on it tonight, probably not. I'd just like to get the sense of council. How do you all feel about getting some more information before we proceed on this?
Well, I'll just repeat what I said at the last meeting. I really think this should be part of a bigger plan. Mm-hmm. So when asked to vote on something that currently costs $12,000, not knowing what it costs after that, to me is foolish. I've never made a decision like that in my life in corporate America or for my own business. Because I know this is not the right number, but let's say the cost after the $12,000 is a million. Well, we just wasted $12,000. And this is a simple accounting and finance I'm talking about now. What John said is, if we find out it's 200 deer, it's 75 bucks a piece, 18,000, 19,000?
15,000?
Yeah. Okay. That's probably a year. If we find out it's 1,000 deer, you're looking closer to 80,000. So, John used the word a sensitivity study. And that seems to be a more prudent study and better way to spend our money. What can we afford? If we can't afford to do this program at all, why spend the $12,000?
That's my thought. I'm not against it. Mm-hmm. Don't take that the wrong way, but mm-hmm. I think we're deciding on something before we're really ready to.
Yeah, well, like I said, you raised a question I couldn't answer.
Yeah.
And, you know, that if we can't, you know, it can make the program impractical. If we can't harvest enough deer to really make an impact, like you can't round up enough hunters that would actually make it happen.
Or conversely, it's too expensive for us to
correct.
Hunt that many deer.
Right.
Right, and, you know, people are complaining about the roads. You know, there's vehicle damage to roads as well. Especially with the potholes. I'm not saying it's 400,000, but, you know, I haven't had too many people complain about the deer. I'm just thinking from the constituency standpoint that we have to answer to, who we represent.
My thinking is along the lines of when we did the referendum, I did like a really big push in support of utilizing more of the open space funds for maintenance and things we can do, and did it on social media. I talked to the residents. I did an email blast. I really wanted it to pass, and I was thrilled it was. But when I was trying to sell it, you know, I sort of gave the impression it was like trails or a temporary bridge or ways we can use our open space property, maybe a pavilion, something along those lines. And I never gave any impression that I would be into something like a study. I feel like I'd be going back, like, I was advertising it, and it doesn't seem like the way I advertised it.
Well, we'd probably have to tell that story a little better. When I look at, Rich gave me some information from the farmers, for instance.
That's not to say I'm not against finding out more information.
Yeah. Well, it's, like I said, Tom raised a question that I thought was very appropriate. You know, I had assumed that we could harvest a reasonable number of deer at a reasonable cost, but don't actually have those numbers in hand. From a public use perspective, part of it is, you know, we're the custodians of this property, so we, or the stewards of the lands that we own in particular, if we don't do something soon, the farmers aren't going to be willing to farm. The damage that Rich provided, those numbers, just from a couple of the local farmers, was severe enough where, you know, they don't want to be bothered harvesting it. If I take a look at Gray's Hill, about 50 acres are in crops, lost 5 acres entirely. The yield on the remainder, stuff that wasn't eaten, was less than 35 bushels an acre versus a target of 65. Windy Acres, 60 acres of crop was lost entirely, been harvested. 20 acres, average was 20 bushels an acre compared to 65 an acre target. So I can't imagine, I sort of alluded to this and not in a very, you know, well-defined way. You know, when a corporation is underwriting these kinds of programs, farmers are going to farm, the corporation writes a check, and real estate taxes are, you know, conserved. But in our situation, you know, we're not paying farmers to take care of the open acreage. So if these guys go away, we're going to end up with a nice bunch of invasives, you know, the Russian olives, the rose oregans, the nasty rose bushes, and some scrub cedar, meadows turn into a successional forest of invasives. So I think that's another aspect of maintaining the property so that the public gets better enjoyment of it. So my suggestion would be that, you know, we had a group that met a few times, and it consisted of Rich and a couple of open space members, Tom, myself. This time, Trishka knows volumes about this stuff. I would suggest that we get the group together in the next, say, the next week. I'm given to understand from good Mr. Shaw we can round up answers to some of the questions that Tom raised in very short order. There's apparently somebody, Trishka may know another expert, but there's some folks over at Duke Farms that understand the farming aspects of this very, very closely. And also the, you know, how many deer for a certain deer population, and we can do a sensitivity study if you want, a ranging study, whatever you want to call it, X number of deer at the low end per acre to X number of deer at the high end per acre. In those populations, rough populations, how many deer need to be harvested to make a significant impact on the land from a farming and a forestry perspective? So, you know, get those answers quickly. If we can't get them quickly, well, we'll push the study off. If we can get those answers quickly in a depth that satisfies our concerns, we'll come back to council.
One of the things I'd like to see is a cost-benefit study, not a study. But are the costs going to be outweighed by the benefits? Mm-hmm. What are the costs to the township if we don't do this? Versus, are there other ways to do it even less cheaply than the $12,000? Mm-hmm. I know we're kind of under the gun for doing it now because of the foliage and all, but I'd rather make a well-thought-out decision rather than a rushed one.
Okay.
So I agree with taking a brief step back and having you have the committee get together and take a look. If you can look at some of the numbers, what would the damage to the open space lands be? What would it cost us to have to maintain that open space if it's not being farmed because the deer damage is bad?
Mm-hmm.
And what are the benefits of the study to make that enable mm-hmm. that to happen?
And, you know, honestly, the question in my mind really from the beginning was, you know, if we can't get the private sector lands in, and I think the answer is yes, mind you, but if we can't get the private lands, say the 120 acres up at Hook Mountain, if we can't get folks that own those kinds of properties to participate, is the deer program going to be effective? You know, if we focus it on our property, are we going to be able to take enough deer out to protect our property if we're not hunting on adjacent privately owned properties? So it's kind of part of telling the story.
And I know that one of the things, I think it was Les who mentioned it. I don't know, Rich, if you might have at one point in time as well. Raritan Township was apparently doing some of this mm-hmm. legwork as well. Is there a way to partner up with Raritan Township to go in jointly or even just to learn from what their experience has been?
Are you posing a question to me? Or
sure.
Jay Kelly actually did that study for the second time at Raritan, and they came up with a range, depending on where you were in the township, of 60 to 100 deer density, and they're rolling out a program right now, and the hope was that we would be able to roll out a program at the same time, as well as with Reddington, which is now gearing up to do the same.
And the governing body down there funded that study in Raritan?
Yeah, I don't know where the funding came from. It came from the township. I don't know whether it was open space or general funds, but yeah.
Okay.
And like Rich said, in fact, we had a get together with some folks in Reddington last week, and the next stop for this gentleman, Jorgen Holzbeck, was to go out and take a look at the exclosure that they were building to affect, you know, a different kind of measurement in terms of the effectiveness of their hunting program. But Reddington's changing from a lease the land to hunters and raise some money, but let the forest not do so well, to a program like we're talking about where they encourage significant deer culling activities to maintain the quality of the forest and their meadows. So, yeah, I think there's a very good chance, again, you know, the timing is not critical to a week, 2 weeks, or 3 weeks, but there's a really good chance for all three towns to work together.
You know, and the problem we have with this, none of us being environmentalists mm-hmm. or environmental scientists, is you can get one environmental scientist who says, unless you're hunting the private lands, there's no way you're going to make a difference. And you'll get another environmental scientist say, no, that's okay. As long as you hunt your lands, you can still affect the difference. And, you know, I'm not an expert to know which one is right or wrong, but I know which way I would err. I would take the less risky approach and believe the guy who says, without hunting the private lands, you won't make any difference.
It depends on what you mean by making a difference. I think part of it is...
Right, yeah.
You've got to
That's
start
Brian's
to,
point about
what's the target?
What do we want to accomplish?
Yeah. Because if we're just trying to prevent loss on our open space as a start, then maybe we only have to look at open space properly.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, so we'll answer those questions.
Do we know what we collect from the farmers on our open space a year?
I thought some did, but I guess maybe not.
They don't pay us.
But it's money we don't spend.
Right. Yeah, I get it.
To maintain.
Yeah. Well, a loaded question.
And it really, at the end of the day, yeah, it's money, but it's also we are the stewards of the lands that we bought, and there's a certain environmental aspect here, maintaining the quality of the land and the quality of what's on the lands. So it's not just about dollars and cents.
How does Hackleberry State Park protect their? How are they good stewards of their land?
Beats me.
That's a lot bigger than Windy Acres.
Had Echo Hill right in the township. So the county, you have a county park right in the township.
Well, the county park does have the Echo Hill. They have that that underpass for the deer, don't they?
Yeah.
Between
But you get my point in that question.
And people,
you get my point in that question. There's other significant forests out there.
I think the answer to a lot of those is nothing. And do we want to be nothing? And let the deer, do we want to do nothing because other people don't? Or do we want to do something to be better than some of the state lands and parcels in other states and whatnot? So I think it's a decision I thought we had reached. The deer are...
Until I asked you a question you couldn't answer. So it was good that we had
the
conversation.
We just need some more. I think we need more.
Yeah, that particular question... goes to the heart of can we make at a reasonable number and with a reasonable number of deer taken out, is this program practical? Is it a program that we can support year in and year out? Not the study part of it,
right,
but the actual operating expense. Yeah. And that's a really fair question. I absolutely take your point on that. Yes, sir. Rich.
Can I just suggest you, do you want me to
come? Yeah, come
it'll be easier. Her. She'll pick up.
Pardon me. I'm supposed to come up here so
we could hear you.
So just it's fine if the council doesn't want to do anything in this area. There are many more things to do. Affordable housing, any number of things that you've got to do. If you want to do something in this area, I would just suggest like Brian, you say you would want a cost benefit analysis. I'm more than happy to do that cost benefit analysis, and I would want to talk to you though,
sure,
find out exactly what you want. Like the fact that we didn't have that conversation on exactly what you want, say a month ago, is reducing us here. And for Tom, you also, I would want to know exactly what you want, so I would want to talk to you. Now there are actual standard formulas that are maintained that allow you to say if this is where you're starting with your deer population, this is what the how many gestations there are per year, this is what the birth rate is, this is what the cull rate is. It allows you to say what those numbers are, and then you have a range of the fees there are for As Mayor Higgins was saying, for butchering, for hunters helping the hungry, it goes. They're normally around $30. They can go up for Bambi's father. It might be $75. Who knows? And it's easy to put those numbers together. Like if that's all that you wanted, I could get those numbers together. The thing is, one of their inputs is what the deer density is.
Right.
So we could use as surrogates the information from Raritan, which is right next door, and we could put those together literally within a couple days. And if I had known that you wanted that, I could have done it. So all I would ask is that you want, that you have those.
That we communicate to you what
right.
we're looking for.
Yeah, yeah.
I thought you and I just knew about it.
I know you looked at some of the car deer crashes
yes.
over the course. of several years, correct?
Actually, what it was, Tracy Housel was just fantastic. She was for the four quarters of 2018.
And did you see consistency in those numbers, or did you see variation in those quarters?
It was there are three quarters, and then there's a fourth quarter. The three quarters.
A little bit more than the fourth. Very little.
The three quarters were almost exactly 15 reported to you per quarter.
Right.
And the pattern on each quarter was almost exactly the same on where the roads are, which was exactly where we don't have open space, where we don't have the large open space properties. The ones that were 21 to 40 on the Rossi form were the one where all the accidents were. The fourth quarter, as you had told me, it went off the charts. There were 45 collisions in the fourth quarter of 2018.
That pesky rut season.
Yep. And the distribution was exactly the same. That pesky rut system, but whatever hunting pressure there are also gets them out of their area. Well,
yes.
And so the hunting pressure is occurring from the private sites, it sounds like.
That's right. Just by the way, I've hiked a few hundred miles in Hackleberry State Park. I've never seen a deer there.
Same here.
They don't have that much adjacent farmland. And the park only has a small part. And what's actually sequestered away is all owned by hunting camps. So.
tell them about Round Valley and your experiences there.
At Round Valley State Park. Well, it's a donut. It's a torus, and the part that's all around where Reddington is, the forest, it looks like the Shenandoah National Forest. It's just beautiful. And I talked to Jay Kelly, the professor who was here, and he says the same thing. The forest is amazing. You get over toward the part that's the other part along Highway 629, and the forest is a mess. It's a tale of two forests there. So that's what I would say about Round Valley. And, you know, that extends over into certainly to Brays Hill. It extends up into some of our other properties. So you can really see where you have that co-location of a good habitat for deer, where they really love to have a combination of forest and adjacent farming areas. And that's why, you know, I would really, Congressman Switlick, you were talking about the interaction you have. I think it would really be great if some of you did actually ask some of the constituents who are farmers here what they're experiencing. I mean, I'm having some of the people I know that are farmers put together some numbers, what they hear anecdotally, but the numbers are pretty severe on what they're experiencing. But it would help if you could do. And so in any case, you know, Brian, if you want me to do a cost benefit, I would want to just talk to you for like 10 minutes about what you want.
Absolutely.
And I could do that. And Tom, if I could talk to you, I also could put that together.
Right. I mean, I said the last meeting, which you couldn't make, I know, but I just said I wanted to see it be part of a bigger plan. How are we going to use the data? Who's going to use the data? Stuff like
I found,
that.
Because
academics, I've seen academic studies before, and they're great for the academic. And then it doesn't get used properly. That's my fear. That's how this started.
Yeah, well, a lot of this work, I understand what you're saying about academic studies. A lot of this is really rooted in field biology, though. So it's academic studies that are pretty biology.
They're on the side of the road counting the deer. I get it. That's good.
Right.
Didn't have a problem with the study itself. It's what we're going to do with the data.
So Mayor Higgins is suggesting that we get together. And, again, if you would like me to put together numbers in these areas, this is not a hard calculation.
I think it's the sustainability of the program, really, is where we've got to come up with the cost and the benefit.
Sure.
Because if we can't sustain it, then we have to decide, are we going to proceed or not?
You're going to get, also, Brian, just so let me sensitize you, There are levels of cost-benefit analysis where there are some things that you can identify quantitatively, and there are some things you have to identify qualitatively.
Yep.
And getting into some of these things like farm damage is a huge number, but it's probably better to keep it as a qualitative parameter Because if you try to do that, you end up
boiling
the ocean.
Yeah. And some of the data that John presented that you had given him was very, very good and useful.
Yeah.
You could certainly see from that data that there's significant damage that might scare away farmers from using our open space, which would be detrimental.
This is what I'm personally hearing. Yeah. I've talked to like 5 farmers, and they've all said that. But I really think that you guys should go out and ask some of your constituents, because you know them a lot better than I do. But this is what I'm being told.
So I live behind Melick, one of his properties. It's 110 acres in Clinton Township. And he has a deer fence up, and I talk to him frequently. He goes, we deal with it. So it didn't seem like he's that upset.
He has a deer fence up.
Right.
I guess he shouldn't be too upset.
Yeah.
I mean, the deer fence, I did hear that he put a fence up around that property. Doesn't that mean he doesn't have any deer in there?
Eventually.
That's, I guess, why he put the fence up.
Right. So, yeah.
An old look too.
So. I know he has other of his properties in around Hunterdon County fenced and Somerset County fenced as well.
Having driven by his Califon properties on the Highlands,
it's a somewhat interesting thing to say that he just deals with it, and then he deals with it by putting up fences, which
he's
is
a good businessman.
Good approach. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right. That's what you need to do. At that point, you don't have to deal with it because you've dealt with it. Well, right. Whatever. I'm just suggesting.
Sure.
I would want to. It's not a hard conversation, but I don't think what you're asking for is hard. Okay. And also, I will say that these density studies, by the way, really are really only done in the spring. They can do them in the fall, but the numbers are highly inaccurate because of the combination of leaf cover and hunting pressure, which throw off the results.
I do think, though, that what council was a little bit surprised by was not that we would have this discussion, but that we would kind of have this discussion with such a short time frame between having to mull it over and have a conversation about it and getting an approval or not, so that we could get it done before spring came.
Sure.
I think the compressed time frame was, I prefer to be a little bit more deliberate.
Yes, you're.
So
that's very well taken.
Yeah, I mentioned to John, like, if we know we have to cull some of the deer. Let's assume without any study we know that, right? If we had an idea, expanding the hunting time on our Clinton Township-owned properties as one of those ideas, and then the hunter says to me, well, how come you're not doing that now? If I said to him, well, we're waiting for a study to be done, he'd probably shoot me instead of the deer, right? So the study, whether it's done this spring or next spring, shouldn't prevent us from trying to solve the problem.
Right?
I understand you won't have a baseline if you don't do it this spring.
We tried to get the hunting program in place for this hunting season, and it just didn't happen. We're going to next hunting season. But you're right, that is somewhat independent of starting of getting the density survey. That said, Tom, you really can't run a complex program without understanding your baseline, where you're starting.
Right, and I wasn't calling it a complex program.
pardon me?
I wasn't calling it a complex program. I just said if we expand the hunting times, that's not a complex to me. You're not collecting data, but you're probably doing a little bit of good. You're certainly not doing any harm. And it costs nothing.
But if you're looking at this with an objective to actually mitigating the problem, then it is a multi-year program that involves bringing in hunting and knowing where you're going to target them. So it is a more complex program, and you have to have baseline information to know where you're working from.
I agree, for the complex part of the
but that's right.
Right.
But it is. But simply getting people out on the open space properties and getting identifying experienced hunters. Les Giza can certainly help with that. I know Jesse has said that he knows a bunch of people too. That can be done, and the township could do that in any case this fall and winter if that's what you want to do.
Right.
Yeah, I would honestly prefer to, let's tell the story, let's get approval for a program that's going to have an effect. I mean, this is going to be a fair amount of work for you and me and whoever else is on the committee.
Well,
and I think tell the story.
Mm-hmm.
Understand how many deer we have to cull. Understand the cost of culling that deer. And it's going to be a range from a low number to a high number, whatever the range today is in Raritan Township. And if we miss the window for the study, okay, fine. We can do that a year from now. But if we do miss the window for the study, I'd much prefer getting sign-off from council and then design a program that's going to have an effect.
Sure.
And I'm not personally interested in working on a program to get a few guys out there to shoot, you know, deer on a random basis.
That's right.
So
what you just said is an approach that many municipalities have tried, and they do it for years, and it doesn't work.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, and you know, I think what happened in Reddington, for instance, they've been having hunters pay them to hunt their lands for years, and they've come to the same realization that that's all nice, you know, we get some cash in the door, but at the same time, the quality of the lands that we hold has gone down significantly. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's from a personal perspective, that's my interest in this, is to ensure that the land that we're stewards of is maintained at a certain level, and we can do that, you know, at a reasonable price. Terrific. I'd like to get council to agree to it. Then, you know, we'll do the bureaucratic work in terms of how to recruit the hunters, what the goals are in terms of the number of deer each one would be responsible for, the number of hunters we assign to, say, a couple of parcels at least, and you know, how we would ensure that the deer are counted, whether we, you know, pay for all the deer that go to the butcher, whether we pay for N+2 or something, N-2 for home consumption. Mm-hmm. Get all of that stuff lined out, and then actually begin a hunting program without a baseline in the fall. Mm-hmm. So I think that's probably the other rational alternative. Does that kind of make sense?
Yep.
Okay.
So you're.
We will get the little committee back together again.
A week or so?
Yeah.
Rich, guaranteed you're not left out of anything we do.
Oh.
Because your work is. You've done a lot of good work. I don't want you to think that's not the case.
Well, that's up to you. But, well, thank you for saying that. I think it's a good. It can be a good program if it's carried out properly.
Thank you, Rich.
Thanks.
Okay. We're now up to vouchers.
Which were attached, I saw.
I know. I can smiley face. Then you see my email?
Yeah. I saw them, too.
So we paid the school board.
Yep. So any comments or concerns based on the bills? I took a look, and they all seemed to pretty much in order.
None.
I'll make the motion to pay the bills in that case.
I'll second it.
Councilman Strauss?
Yes.
Councilman Kaczynowski?
Yes.
Councilwoman Switlick?
Yes.
Council President Millay?
Yes.
Mayor Higgins?
Yes. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Second public comment period.
Bill Glaser, Third Pipe.
Sit down, Sparpet. I did.
I was going to suggest.
No, Bill, hold on 1 second. Oh. I just wanted to mention something before you go. I had forgotten at the beginning of the meeting. We had wanted to have a short executive session this evening to talk about some affordable housing-related matters, and I should have mentioned that kicking the meeting off, but I figured I'd mention it now so that Trishka is ready with the language.
Oh, we did.
You can't leave.
Yeah, it'll be a short one.
Yeah.
So, okay, please.
No, given all the power outages, I wonder if the council would like to kindly invite our representatives from JCP&L to come and explain them, because a lot of people are really ticked in the township.
September.
Yeah.
September.
He was here.
Well, they came once, and they came and talked a bit. But
the story's not going to change.
Well, no. No, but that doesn't really matter. It matters that they should come and represent, and that you as our representative should ask them to.
Yeah,
people were
pissed. He comes in when electricity works.
Well, exactly. Have them come in because they never really explain what happened, what they're doing. Clearly what it says is their efforts have been insufficient.
When he is here, who's going to flick the light switch in the middle of his speech?
I mean, we'll give him some forgiveness for the windstorm, but the other outages that impacted even more households in the township over the course of 2 days, you know, we'll leave accidents aside and windstorms aside.
The one but, I think that Ryan.
Yeah, but that happened all day Sunday and all day Monday to like 1,600 homes in the township. That's about 40% of the households.
In almost all of Clinton Town. That was, you know, a different kind of a problem. That was a substation issue. They had a big breaker go. They didn't appear to have a replacement or standby in stock.
Yeah.
So they doubled up on another breaker.
And that went,
and
too.
And then that went.
Sounds
and
to me like someone's not planning and doing their job, despite all the money they want to raise from us, and they should talk to the public about that.
Right. So
that's
like,
what councils do. They call the people and hold them accountable.
That's not a recloser issue. That's a what's wrong with your substation.
No, I certainly think there's certainly value to have him come back and have Stan come in.
And it's been a while since he was not able to tell us how many smart fuses and
exactly.
how many reclosers, what your
investment
plan.
That night, so but gave you nothing.
Let's, I'll be happy to give them a call.
I think so.
To come by and see if there's a little bit more flesh on the renewal program or the upgrade program they've been talking about.
That'd be great.
Can I also just say that when we did, I had asked a month prior before this came,
mm-hmm.
and I
no
told a lot of people to come. And I think you were probably the only one who came, you and you.
Well, you can leave the horse to water, enemy.
We're the representative, so we should
tell
you. And it's really more about getting JCP&L to do their bit, because, you know.
Yeah, but if this room's full of people.
Oh, absolutely.
That's what I'm
totally
saying.
Agree. Yes. He won't just come here and talk and leave. He'll come here and talk and maybe
and
do something.
And people will say, well, what about and what if?
Right. And a lot of people were upset about the communication and everything again, and I'd love to know what they reported to the Department of Public Utilities and what are they doing. The second point I was going to make is to play on something that the mayor talked about. I do think we should not underestimate the township's responsibility to the investment that we've made in open space. It's been significant. But I'm not scolding this council, but historically, the township has done a relatively poor job of maintaining township properties. I could talk about the debacle on Beaver Avenue, which was bought and then left alone for years to deteriorate. The old municipal building in Annandale is basically an eyesore that the people in the village have been really kind of nice about, relatively, because it's a disaster.
Mm-hmm.
So we can't let that happen to open space. So I take Amy's point. When I voted for that referendum, I didn't really think about things like this for the use of the funds. But when I think broadly about preserving this asset in the township, and we just did the survey of the Rossi, you know, there's a lot of open space. A lot of it's owned by the township. I do think that it's important that it be properly maintained. So if you don't do the deer calling, fine, let's do deer fences. I imagine they'll be pretty expensive, but, you know, it's an option, I presume. Okay, thank you.
Thanks, Bill.
I forgot one thing, real quick. 3 acres money.
Mm-hmm.
Niece and I sent in the fourth iteration of what they
again?
Asked for. And again? With a very succinct note that says, we want the money now.
Yeah.
We're done. The ossuary is done. She wanted a couple changes. That's going out tomorrow. Everything else she asked for is done. There's no reason we shouldn't be paid. Close to $2 million.
But have you heard back?
Check's in the mail.
When did you hear that?
Monday or Tuesday.
So you should have it tomorrow.
We're going to get your stuff, and we're going to send you the payment vouchers for direct deposit. So.
Good.
I'll be going to Trenton in March if you want
to. God bless you.
It's, I mean, it's amazing.
It was the same, a similar situation with the HER matter.
Yeah.
Even after we had everything we thought all greased and finished and ready to go. So
I think we're really there.
Well, good for you. Thank you.
It's only been 3 years.
Any more public comment?
Nope, I don't see any more public comments, so we'll close the public comment period.
Motion to adjourn.
Executive session.
Oh, don't just set me up.
It's not on the agenda.
He's just checking to see if you're listening.
It's not on the agenda.
Watch it, Mark.
I'd forgive.
Mayor, would you like to?
Would you read the
do something for the record? Be it resolved that the mayor and council will now convene in a closed session that will be limited only to consideration of items with respect to which the public may be excluded pursuant to Section 7B of the Open Public Meetings Act. The general nature of the subject to be discussed in this session is the appeal filed by Clinton 94 in the township's affordable housing declaratory judgment action, which is captioned In Re Clinton Township Compliance with Third Round Mount Laurel Affordable Housing Obligation, docket number L-315-15.
Thank you.
Now, Mark.
I'll make a motion we go into executive session.
Perfect. That's the thing I forget most of the time.
I'll second it.
Could I have a roll call? Not a roll call, but
roll call.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed or abstaining? Thank you.
Will there be any action?
30 on the button, pretty much, and we're out of executive session. I would certainly entertain a motion to adjourn.
Actually, I have a few more things. I'm just kidding. Make a motion to adjourn.
I'll second it.
All those in favor?
Absolutely.
All right. Opposed or abstaining? I hear none.
See? And you look how you...
Hello?